99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. It's 7 a.m. Coming up next, What's Going On with Felipe Luciano.
There's far too many of you dying.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines,
sister,
and picket signs,
sister.
Don't punish me,
sister,
with brutality,
sister.
Talk to me,
sister,
so you can see.
Good morning, family. My name is Felipe Luciano, and this program is called What's Going On. We do this every Thursday from 7 to 8 in the morning. My theme today is, why are we shocked at what we see happening in America today? I am watching the January 6th hearings, and I am still, to this day, amazed that we have not woken up to the reality of racism, to the reality of white skin privileges. I am just aghast at some of the things that this former president, this former madman, tried to do to undercut the Constitution. And thank God there were people on his side who said you cannot abrogate the Constitution of the United States. And he did everything. And they got him on tape doing it. Why is this man not locked up? Why isn't he being put in handcuffs? He slid every... When we talk about white skin privilege, it must be true, because he slid by every major punishment. And I think about it. I'm amazed. Are white people so mad and so upset with black people, with people of color, that they are willing to undergo every humiliation? Because what they're doing is humiliating themselves. They're willing to do anything and believe any lie in order to keep this man in power. I've said this before. He has used every tactic of Adolf Hitler, every tactic, from the brown shirts and beating people up to the invasion of the headquarters of other people, of other opponents, to everything. He's used everything to get on people. Sick man, but more megalomaniacal, they call him. I can't believe the last insult was that he tried to get a false group of electors, or people who are supposed to certify the election, to decertify the election. Folks, remember this. This is your country. There's some of us who are standing by. Well, it ain't my country anyway. It's their country. Let them fight it among themselves. This is your country. You built the wealth here. Don't you know that, black man? You're the one who built the wealth here. You're the one who made it happen. Had it not been for black slave labor, the insurance companies would never have made their money. Shipbuilding companies would never have made their money. All of the wealth at that time, from before 1860, from the 1700s when they started importing slaves, to the end of the Civil War, was produced by black folk. Come on now. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And today I'd like to talk about, what are white people afraid of? What are they afraid of? Why are they continuing to stand up against us and purposely pursue us? We have the highest rates of incarceration, the highest rates of maternal mortality, the highest rates of poor education. What are they afraid of? I'm going to talk right now to someone. I'd like you to listen to him. His name is Professor Wallace Ford. He's a professor over at Medgar Evers. He's a professor of public administration. I had called him last night to find out what is going on here. What does he think is going on with respect to the white fear? Do we have him on the air? Okay. Then let's go to the next one, Richard Green. Would you call him, Mikey, and see if he's in? I am shocked that this is continuing to happen. Remember the number here to call, because I want to talk to you guys about it. Why don't you give them the number to call, Michael Haskins? Is it 280-2990? 209. All right. 209-2877. 209-2877. And call us here, because I'd like to get your opinions about what's really going on. It's scary that I have to watch this every evening on television. 209-2877. I am a person who's been involved in many, many demonstrations. As you know, I was chairman of the Young Lords, and we went to watch it. We took over Lincoln Hospital. I was a member of the Last Poets. And I see a deterioration. I know things have changed. People keep saying, well, Felipe, don't be so morose. But it really bothers me. There are times I'm very nervous these days. I'm trying to resolve that through therapy. But I see stuff happening in this country that's disgustingly base, disgustingly racist. This gentleman actually castigated two black women in Georgia. I can hear you. Castigated two black women who had gone against the election, and refused to say that they had stuffed the ballots in Georgia. He called them out by name. People were attacking their house. They busted into their house. I mean, can you imagine? Where would this happen other than in Nazi Germany? All right. If we have Ramon Morales on the phone, let's go to him. Ramon, how are you, Papa?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm almost wordless with the kind of machinations that this guy has done to keep in power. They still think he's going to run. I can't believe with the crimes that he's committed, he should be arrested, because he's a criminal acts. And I would like to ask you, as a Puerto Rican living in Puerto Rico, a man who is an entrepreneur and a technologist, and someone who's been watching, you're a very, very vigilant observer of American politics. What is it about white people? What is it about them that they're afraid of? That we will replace them? Because they keep on saying that. That we will do to them what they did to us? What is keeping them from understanding what truth is?
Well, I think we need to understand what is really going on in America at this time. What we are witnessing and what Trump has unleashed is a torrent of white nationalism, white supremacy, like we have not seen in many, many, many years. What it means is that America is on the precipice of a new civil war. And what I mean by that is that the white supremacists have effectively, through Trump, taken over one of the two main political parties in the United States. When we look at the polls and we see that nearly 60% of Republicans would re-elect Trump. What we're seeing is that the white supremacist wing of the Republican Party, which has always been there, will now achieve ascendancy. And this is what's compelling Trump, and this is what is the driving force behind his candidacy.
What bothers me, Ramon, is this. It doesn't bother me, but I wish the Democrats would do this, or those progressives would do this. They are consistent with their conspiracies. That is, they've now moved into the state level. They're not only focusing on national elections, they're going into the states and looking at state legislatures so that they can manipulate the vote. If, for example, they find that the Democratic nominee for president in 24 reaches ascendancy or wins, they can now decertify it because they have the people in place. They've been doing that since the time he lost. All over, Iowa, Arizona, Florida, Michigan. I mean, this is sad. Not sad, but it is what it is. We have not done that. We're still fighting amongst ourselves. Democrats are still fighting amongst themselves as to who's the best candidate. And this, I mean, it's almost like we're eating our young. I see that happen in the Puerto Rican community, too. People are going against AOC. And not trying to work out how can we work together as Latinos to do something. Do you see that happening? I'm pretty sure you're aware of it. They're becoming a very strong internal organization, and they lie for each other. What is your comment? How do you react to that?
Well, when you really look at it historically, the opposite is actually true. In other words, it isn't like it's coming down or, let's say, going from the federal level to the state level. It's actually the other way around. What I mean by that is that state legislature after state legislature has become far more right-wing, and that is what the GOP has done successfully. They have been working at the local level to achieve electoral power so that then they can move into the federal sphere with much more strength and much more consistency. The problem that the Democrats have is that they are dealing with the fact that they too have a right-wing
element
in the party, represented by people like Manchin and
Semina.
Others,
yeah,
who are essentially using their positions to create a Republican majority de facto in the Senate. And this is what's keeping Democrats from being able to act more aggressively against the Republican onslaught. What we're seeing with AOC is that, by the way, you know that she has garnered and secured a near 70% support within the Democratic Party. So that means that she has not only grabbed the progressives, but she's also picked up a large number of moderates.
Yes.
Who see her as the future of the Democratic Party. Now, this is both inevitable as well as a new driving force that I think is the ray of sunshine within American politics. That's what she represents.
If you look at what's happening and her position ideologically, her position politically, and you look at the right-wingers, who, and I'm still aghast that we don't see how close we were to losing the democracy on January 6th. We still refuse, we call them tourists. They had people photographing the hallways, casing the joints, and we're saying, well, the guy was a tourist. You heard that argument? He was just taking pictures. When we realized that Trump was in contact with the people, and his people were in contact, when we realized that he was told, call them off, call the dogs off, and he refused to do it, and that he actually advocated the injury to Mike Pence, called him all kinds of names. I can't believe it that this is happening in the United States of America. It seems to me that we're headed to an inevitable clash. This is the Civil War all over again, as far as I'm concerned, from a historical point of view. And it follows the Mein Kampf theory. This guy is going for it. Hitler did the same thing. And I'm saying to myself, if you don't read history, you're bound to repeat it. Are you fearful for what's happening in this country? Because are we prepared for that kind of thing? The guns that they have, the ammunition that they have, the ferocity of their hatred is such that it amazes me. There are many of us who are ready to fight, but I'm saying, what do we do now? I'm not going to advocate people going out there and getting themselves killed. I don't advocate that. But I do say that we have to wake up. Because while we are in the process of wringing our hands, they're gaining strength. And I would hope that the media, and of course the army has been great because they've decided not to go along with this fool. Remember his whole Flynn said, let's just take the machines, take them all, and declare martial law. I can't believe it. The army, still under civilian control, told him, frankly, we're not going to do that. That's not our role. That's not our constitutional mandate. What do you see in the future? Let me just put it to you that way.
Well, I believe that the army, or the armed forces generally, will continue to hold that position almost like a bulwark for the continuance of American democracy and the Constitution. The problem really is that within the overall, let's say, mass or electorate, there is this very powerful force that we've been speaking about that is taking over the Republican Party in ways that we have not seen since the 50s.
Hmm.
But there's something that is very important, and that is that we cannot look at the United States like a bubble. We have to understand that at this moment, the United States is an imperial power in descendancy, meaning that the United States has lost its position of imperial supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, and the fact that, as you can see in Colombia, the most progressive candidate won.
Yes.
In over 50 years. I mean, it's just an amazing development.
Add to that that they've elected a black woman, unheard of,
right.
as vice president.
As vice president, that's right. So when you look at and remember that Colombia is a very significant country in Latin America. And I don't know if you realize, but the U.S. has 7 operational bases in Colombia.
Yeah, all based on eradication of cocaine crops.
Originally.
Mm-hmm.
But they have remained as a force ready to jump in any situation where the right wing will cause an incident that will bring the U.S. into the conflict.
Well, what they've been trying to do is get Colombia to invade Venezuela. That's what they've been trying to do. And so far, it's not happened, but they've tried.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, Venezuelan people, with all of the turbulence that's gone on in Venezuela, there has been a huge number of Venezuelans that now are living within Colombia.
Yeah, many. They fled.
And, yeah, but these are not people necessarily that are right-wing or anti the Venezuelan government. These are just poor people in their majority that have left because they're seeking a place where they can survive.
And eat.
And the Colombian people have returned the favor that the Venezuelans did with the Colombians, and they have accepted them, and they have been helping them succeed in Colombia.
Yes, they have.
So these are dynamics that are very intriguing and very interesting, because it shows that the trends of democracy, the trends of giving the people the power to oppose the United States and its policies, this is going to be like the spark that lights the prairie fire. And I believe that the Colombian experiment, if you will consume other countries in the region in a good way. And I think that we're in a beautiful historical situation. And don't you feel great living in this period?
I think it's fantastic. It enlivens my bones. Reminds me of the 60s and the 70s when we were out there on the barricades fighting for the right to vote, fighting for the right to be self-determination. My blood boils. I know I'm older now. I know that I need to be calm and remember that I've got to care for people's security and safety. But I say this is a historical moment. There's no doubt about it. You're listening to Ramon Morales, an entrepreneur and a technologist, one who I've known for many years. Went to Harvard, graduated from Harvard, and is working his business in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Ramon, thank you so much for having been part of our program. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Felipe, for continuing to be the voice of reason, the voice of uncompromising integrity. I love you, my brother.
Thank you. I love you, too. Que viva Puerto Rico Libre. Take care of yourself. We're going to take a musical break right now. And when we come back, I'd like you to call this number, 209-2877. 209-212-209-2877. Tell me what you think about the January 6th hearings, about the harassment by the Trump forces of people who simply wanted to follow the Constitution. The Arizona governor had said he's not going to become part of this. Bowers, I think his name is. And they stood up. Now, what bothers me about this, as you're beginning to call, what bothers me about this is that some of them still, they said they will still vote for Trump, even though they did not obey his mandate to decertify the election. My name is Felipe Luciano. This is What's Going On, and we'll be right back after this musical break. Gonzalez, it's called Avance. Jerry Gonzalez and the Fort Apache Band, one of the premier Latin jazz bands that took a whole new approach to Latin music and, of course, to jazz. For those who thought that Latinos could not play this, they're straight ahead and they're admired. They actually changed the cultural music scene in Spain. My name is Felipe Luciano, and we're talking about what is happening in this country with regard to Trump and his minions. And what seems to be an inevitable clash between those who want to preserve white skin privilege and those who want an open democratic society. Let's take some calls. 209-2877. Hello, you're on the air. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
Hi, Professor Luciano. This is Dre from Jersey City.
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well.
So I heard the conversation this morning, and I think we need to make the distinction between democracy mm-hmm. and the Democratic Party. There's a lot mm-hmm. of things that the Democratic Party does isn't for democracy. And I know you mentioned Ocasio, but she and the so-called squad have, you know, the Trumpers are one thing, but, you know, people like the squad, and they were supposed to fight for the 15 and then never did what they were supposed to do, and you can go down the litany of things that, you know, the Democratic Party has done. So the Republican can only do what they do because the Democrats let them.
Well, tell us what
we get into this thing of voting for the same parties over and over again, when we have to remember that these people are hired to do a job.
All right,
it's a job. Nothing else. And if they don't do their job for what we hired them to do, then they should be fired, and we put somebody in place that can do the job.
What do you suggest they do? What do you suggest the Democrats can do? Well, what can the public do?
So far as the corporate Democrats, they rule the party. I mean, let's look at the last election for Biden, right? This man said out of his face that if you don't vote for me, you're not black if you don't vote for me. And what was the consequence of that? We voted for him. So how do we expect to have accountability when we don't hold these people accountable?
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones, the people are the ones that are supposed to hold the ones voted in. You're supposed to hold them accountable, but we don't.
Well, how do we
hold them accountable?
Who else will? Well, what in your opinion can we do to hold them accountable? Put them out of office? Don't vote for them again?
Well, that's the only way that they learn, right? When they see that their jobs are in peril, when they see that they're not going to get their campaign contributions, quote unquote, and they get their funding from these donors and so on, when all of that is held in some kind of way, then they start listening. But when they don't, they do what they do. So we can't expect for them to hold themselves accountable because they've proven that they won't. On both sides. The Republicans clearly don't. They don't want to do it. And the Democrats, they follow in suit. They follow pretty much in suit with what the Republicans do as well. They're just on the other side of the same coin. So if we as the public want real change, we as the public must invest in our political system. Because
all right.
For what I've seen the last 10 or so years, probably more, there has been a disinvestment from what the public has done for what we do for politics, politicians do for us. So
all right.
When they do whatever they do and we let them do it, we can't complain. So we have to change our mindset and hold them accountable.
I thank you very much for calling, brother. Thank you very, very much from Jersey City. 209-287-7212. Wallace, hold on for a minute. I'm going to take one more call and then I'm going to you. 212-209-2877. Hello, you're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, John in New Jersey.
Hello.
Hi. As far as with the Democrat Party and this, you got to look out of the party, man. I mean, I agree a lot with the last caller. These Democrats, I'm Hispanic, these Democrats think because they already got us, the Hispanics, the blacks, we all vote with them. Look who's in a mess now.
Mm.
Look at all these prices. Who's hurting the most? Us, middle class, working class. And for some reason, including you, which I always listen to, really think that the Democrat Party is the key to this. AOC, all of these nut jobs. They're a disaster for us.
Mm-hmm.
They don't help us. These gas prices now, we're hurting tremendously.
And you don't think that's a result of the greed of the oil suppliers?
I think that's a result of him coming into office and closing the Keystone Pipeline on the same day. I think that's a lot of things. What do you think is going to happen when you close down company that makes 40% of the child formula?
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to happen. Consequences of his actions. And that's what we live and tell you, who started the KKK, the slavery, all this? Democrats. Don't think that Democrats are just for the Hispanics and the black people. They're not, man. And I'm not saying just vote Republican. I'm saying vote for whoever you think.
Now, well, here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Now we're in a bigger mess than ever before.
Yes,
and
we
before
are.
It was much, much bigger. And this is only the beginning of the iceberg. I'm telling you.
I agree. You know, we've never been able to build a third party in this country. Every time it's been tried, it has failed. Doesn't mean we can't try again. But the third party system has not worked in the United States of America. People are used to the two party system. And they have depended on it. I thank you for calling very, very much. I want to go to Dr. Wallace Ford, who is a professor at CUNY for public administration. Dr. Ford, where do you see this going? We have the January 6th depiction of madness, really. People who have tried everything. They've tried to undercut the Constitution. They've been illegal in this. They've got people who have admitted it. Of course, let me tell you this, Wallace. If he ever is elected, or if he ever is elected to be heading the Republican Party in 24, they'll go right back to him. So where do you see this going?
Well, I think as a couple of things. First of all, good morning.
Good morning, brother.
Instead of good evening. let me just say, as a professor at Medgar's College in the CUNY system, you know, we've been watching this situation for a long time. What happened on January 6th is just an outgrowth of what's been going on for maybe the last 30, 40 years. Mm-hmm. In terms of there's, you know, a group of individuals that's grown in terms of promoting a policy of smaller government, promoting a policy of marginalizing anything that looks like racial progress in this country because it's not seen as consistent with their vision of what America is going to look like. Meanwhile, America has gotten browner and browner every year and less white every year demographically. And that's a problem for a lot of people. And about 4 years ago, Felipe, or 4 or 5 years ago, the national kindergarten class was less than 50% white for the first time in American history. That number will not change. It's going to continue to be a blacker and browner and less white America. And that's a problem for some people. It doesn't have to be, but it is a problem because when you look at the roots of the United States of America, its traditions, its cultural concepts, it flies in the face of all of that.
What are they afraid of, Wallace? What are they afraid of? What are white people afraid of?
Majority rule. That's too slick an answer. It really has to do with, consider this, Felipe, and you and I have talked about this. During the Civil War, most of the soldiers, the hundreds of thousands of soldiers in the Confederacy, either did not own slaves, or if they did, they may have one or two slaves. Terrible things, certainly, but not this industrial complex. And they fought the Civil War and lost in horrific numbers because at least they weren't white. At least they weren't black.
Yeah.
That was the calling card, that at least you have that superiority over someone else, the other. And just so we're clear, that concept of the other is not just here in the United States. We see it in many parts of the world. We see it in Africa. We see it in Asia. We've seen it in Europe. And that concept of the other is enough for people to fight and die for. And that's what we're dealing with in full scale. So what you saw on January 6th is just, you know, one more manifestation of this frustration that you have, along with the unequal application of law and justice. You've seen this, read this analogy and seen it, heard it many times. Imagine, if you will, instead of 10,000 almost total white, armed and angry white people attacking the Congress, attacking the police officers, threatening to kill the Vice President of the United States and the Speaker of the House. Imagine if it was 10,000 mostly black members of the Black Lives Movement doing this.
There would have been 9,500 dead.
Well, they would run out of body bags. Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anybody who survived would already have been convicted and would be already serving life terms, if not awaiting death sentence. And
right.
That is just the fact. So you can consider, you know, remember Donald Trump wanted to shoot the Black Lives protesters around Lafayette Square.
Yes.
Just because they're protesting.
Well, look what happened to Rap Brown. I mean, here's a guy they have been on this man from Jump Street. He's still in Arizona 12 floors under because they say he killed the cop, though a guy confessed that he did it. They will do anyone who threatens the stability of their lie. They will go after. Let's face it. They've done it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Felipe. And I'm glad you mentioned Rap Brown because there was a story about Rap Brown not too long ago, and it mentioned that there's still something like 40 Black Panthers who are still in prison
yes.
in the United States, serving sentences, just incredible sentences, 20, 30, 40, 50 years to life. And they'll never get out of prison. They'll never get out of prison. And whether you want to defend what the Panthers did or advocate what the Panthers are doing, this is overkill in a penal system for sure. And it's just another example of injustice in America, racial injustice in America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just want to say that, and if I could put in a little plug, I have a column that comes out as a blog once a week, www.thewallaceford.com. I invite your listeners to read it because I think we have to understand the trajectory that we're on. People are who consider themselves progressives or liberals or moderates are fighting over the small stuff while you know the ship be sinking, as they say. And what can happen when the states are controlled? Right now, there's 50 states, 30 of them have Republican governors. There's 50 states, 28 of them have Republican-controlled legislatures. Power in this country, which is teaching that constitutional law class, stems from the states, not the federal government. And they're taking control in a very smart and strategic way, taking control of those levers of power so that they control state governments. They already control the U.S. Supreme Court. They've ceded, during the Trump years, the federal judiciary with over 200 right-wing judges who will be serving for at least the next 20 years. And if they take control of the House and Senate in 2022 and the presidency in 2024, which quite possibly can happen, we're going to be looking at minority rule in this country. And the only country I can think of that had something like this level of minority rule on a race-based concept would be the Republic of South Africa in 1948.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if anybody listening thinks that that's exaggerating, they're not paying attention. You know, I'd love to see somebody come up with an alternative explanation of the precipice that we find ourselves on right now. And if we don't start acting in a very different, smarter and strategic way, we're going to be telling our children and grandchildren, gee, we just didn't see this coming, but we should have seen it coming.
Now, tell me something. The manifestation of that anxiety, the manifestation of that angst, that oppression, the voter suppression, the mass incarceration, the killing of black men and women is obvious. We're acting out on the streets of our cities. People ask me, well, why is this happening? I said, if you've been under the cover, if you've been in COVID, people say we've been in COVID for 2 years. We've been in COVID, a COVID-imposed solitude for 400 years. And so now people are coming out. I'm surprised that we don't have more mentally ill people. Because people are acting out. These kids are acting out. And remember, the youth are always the ones who receive the intensity of the superculture, if the United States sneezes, black folks catch a cold. I mean, we're really going through it here. And I don't understand why we don't see that, why we don't see this happening. How do you think we can resolve this? How do you think we can begin to resolve this? To education? Demonstration?
It's always education. If you're demonstrating without demonstration without education is just hanging around. You know, you have to have a reason why you're demonstrating. And I think you hit the nail on the head, Felipe, in that there is, there aren't, major gotta have points. That anybody depends on who you're talking to. This is what we got to have. But we got to have voting rights. So then I heard one of your listeners coming on saying, well, you know, it depends on, and you're right, depends on who you're voting for. Well, what are you voting for? I mean, you know, when we look at our this is generalization, but I think it's useful. The Jewish community in this country, don't mess with Israel. Now, you do have the boycott, divest, the BDS group, and what have you, but generally, taking an aggressive stance towards Israel will lose you damn near every Jewish vote that you ever want.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What's the gotta have on our side? Okay.
Yeah.
We want a civil rights bill. You got a civil rights bill, but what about enforcement? Well, enforcement's another thing. You know, Voting Rights Act. You know, look, the Texas State Republican Party last week put in its platform. What do they say? You know, a ban on abortion, of course, and a critical race theory. And as things are ended, they also want the repeal of the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
God.
And it's like, what? When did that get on? When did that get on the chopping block? And you know what the answer is? It always has been.
Always has been.
Up and said it. They just flipped up and said it this time. You know, because they've eviscerated the Voting Rights Act with the Shelby v. Holder decision in 2013 in the first place, and all that you've been seeing is pretty much, steps taken towards repealing the Voting Rights Act without repealing it.
I say the same thing about. I say the same thing about the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Forgive me for interrupting. We have a parade with 2 million participants, Wallace. Everyone waving a flag. Not one voter registration booth. Not one.
Yeah.
This is the perfect opportunity to start registering Puerto Ricans. If you're talking about the independence of Puerto Rico, or even some free market where we can discuss these ideas. I hate going to it because I see it as hypocrisy. I see it as we're dichotomized. There's no doubt about it. Wallace, thank you very much. I know you got to go. You have your classes. God bless you, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
See you in a couple weeks, and hopefully we can come back on the show, and I'll get the time right this time.
All right. Take care, Dr. Ford. God bless you. The best to you.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
All right. We'll be right back. The number here is 209-2877, 209-2877. Call me and tell me what you think about this madness. But let's listen to Little Anthony before that.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head.
Anthony, one of the greatest R&B singers I've ever heard. I grew up with him in Brooklyn. I used to love his son, Little Anthony Pierce, who still haven't been given all their props. I think he was one of the finest groups in the United States. Let's take some more calls. 209-2877, 209-2877, 212. What do you feel about what's happening with regard to the January 6th? Why do you think whites are so afraid of our taking power, which is going to happen whether they like it or not, as Wallace Ford has been talking about? Let's take some calls. Hello, caller. You're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Riverdale.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to have a little dialogue with you, if I could.
Sure, sure.
Number one, I threw information on this station from 20, maybe even 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody wrote a book about 10 years ago or so, and they came out with a movie. I don't believe that voting is completely organic and honest, even at high levels. So first I have to say, if somebody believes that the election process is completely honest in the United States and any democratic country around the world, I can't help you. So it's rigged. Now you might say, well, what about Ocasio-Cortez? Because that's part of
the game, part of the
dagger.
Game. Yeah.
You have to have a few independent people come in, but they're not the majority. Now, I know an institution that the same thing happens to, but I'm going to make it nameless. So I'm leave it out of the equation, okay? That there's problems with the voting process. Now, another thing about January 6th specifically, again, everybody starts using things for their own agenda. Some of your calls before, the guy talked about the Democratic Party. You have to go based on results. After a while, you make your decisions based on results, not what people say or what the dreams or romantic dreams are. So the January 6th thing, nothing's going to happen unless you have the military on your side. There would have had to be at least a third of the military of the United States to change anything. The coup, the insurrection. Someone called when you had the Pacifica special and said an insurrection is when people have taken arms and they're running through the streets, not a building. You know, I find it quite interesting. Another building was attacked, and you have two names that are circulating around again. There's a Cheney and there's a Giuliani. Last time those two names were circulating, two buildings went down in Lower Manhattan. Yeah, these are things that I'm saying. Where's my compadre callers? Where are the people noticing these things and bringing it out? You know, and no insurrection, no takeover, unless the military's involved. If you tell me a story that a third of the military is held up here and they've taken over atomic weapons and they've got this and they're in the street, I mean, then you got something going on. A building.
Aren't you glad, sir, that the military has not gotten involved in this conflict? Aren't you happy that they didn't?
The military's made up of all kinds of people.
Yeah. But so far, the leadership has decided to opt for civilian leadership. Aren't you glad that that happened? Because had they done it, we would have had a coup. Even without it.
Of course. Yeah. Well,
I'm concerned.
Point or two. Ocasio-Cortez. I went to her office. You know, we're going to see insurrection. I hope we don't. But what would you say if there was an insurrection, so-called, just like January 6th, and people are really mad, and some of these people that you're pointing fingers at of supremacy this and supremacy that, I mean, you keep reinforcing the negative with the color. I'll take it. You want to tell me I'm this? I'll take it. You're declaring it. Okay, so that's reinforcing the negative. But what if there's problems with food and gas?
It's already happening.
It's already happening. Is anybody going to talk about those insurrections?
I think that's a very good point. Yeah. Very good point.
The door around the corner, I'd like Ocasio-Cortez to help me with the guy around the corner, a Dominican-owned supermarket chain, $10 for a roasted chicken that looks like a raisin. Okay? You know, and then this whole thing with immigration. The Chinese, the Asians are coming right behind. Everybody else is going to get knocked off. It's going to be this country, and maybe by 2100, be mostly Asian as far as immigrants.
Well, a lot of people are coming in. We do have an immigration problem. Thank you very much for calling. We got to take another caller. I like your clarity. I like your boldness. Take care of yourself. Take care. It's WBAI. We got time for one more call. 209-2877. 209-2877. Hello, you're on the air. Where are you calling from and what's your name? Good morning, ma'am.
Hi, it's Rose. Listen,
hello, Rose.
I hate to disagree with the other gentleman. I'm worried about Orientals coming here. What's getting me a little crazy is that we need to get a physical presence in the voting line. They don't want the absentee voting. Let's get them in our wheelchairs and sit them all line out in the street. I must thank you for your wonderful guests this morning. Their erudite minds are very refreshing.
Thank you.
As are yours every day. We can take this back, but we're going to have to be very subtle. We're back on the plantation. We just don't know it, of all races, colors, and creeds. And if the man can't find a chicken that's not a prune, then he should learn to cook his own.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
I agree. We're having a problem. The gentleman was referring to the supply chain.
I understand about the supply. You're talking to the granddaughter of a farmer. Okay.
So you know what the deal is. And once we lose that, I'm afraid for the bees. The bees are not even reproducing. They're not pollinating.
Oh.
Once we lose the bees, it's over for us.
You know, I just tried to call you, and the person I picked, I guess it was Reggie, said...
No, it's not Reggie. That's Michael.
Michael was off this morning. Okay. He says, well, you were there, and then you're gone. I said, yeah, this is all part of the plan. We have over-electrified space so badly. The cancers that are going to coming from all... Everybody having a magic 5G up their ear.
we don't stand a chance unless we go back to standing up for Mother Nature. I mean, we have screwed her and glued her to the
Oh my God. My church is nature. My church are the trees. I had a dream, and I'll share this with you, that there were no trees left in the world. And there was one somewhere in Asia somewhere. There was one tree, and people made processions there. Like they go to Mecca just to see the tree, because the air had gone. The pollution had destroyed the aquifer levels, and there were no trees anymore. I would suggest to New Yorkers that while they may hate the project, go into those projects. Those are the places where there are trees. I'm really afraid for that. Because in the end, we can talk about all of this stuff, racism and pollution. If you don't have any air to breathe, we got problems in River City. Thank you. And I want to go back to the land. I think that's where we're going. Puerto Rico's trying to do that right now. Thank you. The youth are trying to go back. If you want independence, to first feed yourselves. Thank you, Maya. Thank you. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. 212-209-2877. We've got to go. It's about that time. Listen, folks, I love getting up here. Sometimes I'm a little discombobulated. I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to talk about today? You guys help me up. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Here, we're going to end with Eddie Palmieri, Si Echo Pa'lante. Listen to the words if you can understand Spanish. He says, every time I try to move forward, you try to pull me back. Later.
La 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 le 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 le. Ah la 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 le 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 le. Ah la la, ah la 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 la. Ah la la, ah la la la. Y echo pa'lante y ay mírame alan pa' atrás. Es toda una envidia, bendito, qué barbaridad. Y me río yo de la gente, porque lo mío, mío será. Pero como hay gente que te tiran, me voy a tener que preparar. Y me voy a dar una limpieza, pa' que no molesten más. Óyeme, mi hermano, no molesten más. Y bonco, y bonco, pa' que no molesten más.
Las cosas pasan rápido en la calle. Su velocidad le puede parecer lenta al manejar, pero si atropella a alguien, es espantosamente rápida. Conductores, estén pendientes de los peatones y ciclistas, y al doblar, reduzcan la velocidad a 5 millas por hora. El exceso de velocidad arruina vidas. Reduzca la velocidad. Un mensaje de la iniciativa Vision Zero de la ciudad de Nueva York.
And you're tuned to 99.5 FM WBAI, WBAI.org on the web. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we are commercially free and listener supported. 62 years. Thanks to